You're listening to episode 105 in the Play Therapy Community Podcast.
Welcome to Play Therapy Community Podcast, providing connection, information, and inspiration to child therapists all around the world. Here's your host, a licensed psychotherapist, a registered play therapist, and my mom, Jackie Flynn.
Well, hey there. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Play Therapy Community Podcast. I love meeting with you like this. I'm real excited to share today's conversation with you. It's with someone that I just recently met and I felt inspired by. Before we get started, though, I do want to tell you about Marshall's Miniatures. Marshall is a big influence in my career as a play therapist, and he's a dear friend. He's located in Austin, Texas, and he has so many opportunities to learn. He's shifting more into kind of healing the healers. He has a workshop there called Marshall's Workshop, and he has a miniature subscription. So you can find more about Marshall at marshalllyles.com. He always says, don't get carried away with the L's, marshalllyles.com. If you can't find it based on all the L's, just search his name with EMDR and play, and you're certain to find him there. Okay, so let's jump into today's conversation. That today we're going to, I'm going to chat with Ryan Ooner, and I recently met him at the Neuroscience of Play Therapy Summit in Cocoa Beach. He was someone that was like a beacon of safety out in the audience when the technology was challenging us. He raised his hand and he said, yeah, I'll do anything to help. It just kind of makes me feel good just thinking about it, because as soon as something happened, I'd be like, Ryan. So I'm excited for you to kind of hear his journey, his story, specifically from being a teacher, and long before that, what led him to be a teacher. And now he is a grad student at the time of this recording in practicum. And his next step, he's looking at internship. So welcome to the podcast, Ryan.
Thanks. And I will say that summit, it was a blast. I absolutely loved it. So
thank you. It was definitely the whole thing with the bird with Dr. Robert Jason Grant. And we definitely had some
entertainment. So for me, I have to, when I look at where I'm at now, I have to look at my history. And even where I want to go, I still have to look back and see where I came from. So for me, my story starts when I was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. So it was about 2 to 3 weeks into kindergarten at this new school that I was attending. I was playing on the playground. Now, this is like 20 years ago, so playground equipment wasn't as safe as it is now.
Sure.
And I was playing on this metal piece of equipment when I slipped and hit my head. Mm-hmm. Most people wouldn't think it was anything to note. Teacher told my mom, but my mom really started to notice that there were some differences with me. All of a sudden, I was like limping. My speech was slurred. Mm-hmm. Got to the point that they actually took me to the hospital that weekend. Ooh. And it was really my mom, doing some of her own research, who figured out I had a stroke. The chances of a five-year-old having a stroke are like 300,000.
Oh, yes.
Which is a lot. Which is not exactly very good statistic, I would think. I think it should be a lot lower than that. So that was a shock to us. When we left the hospital, they had told my parents, there's about a 10% chance that this could develop into epilepsy. Mm-hmm. Almost exactly 2 years later, in September, I started having seizures.
Oh.
So it was epilepsy. So 7 years old, having seizures. Definitely a change. Had to learn how to do a lot of regulation of like how much sleep I get, how much stimulation I get. There's a lot of stuff to try and maintain. make sure that I didn't have stress that would cause my seizures.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward a couple years into like the third through fifth grade range, we also found out I had learning disabilities.
Mm.
For me, I don't actually like the term learning disability.
Yeah.
I prefer the term learning difference.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, it's not that I'm not able to learn, it's that I learn differently from normal people.
Yes.
And that actually comes in a little later in my story as well. So a lot of adversity I had to face when I was in elementary school. Fast forward to high school, I started doing cross country and archery, because those were two sports that I actually could do. I had to give up soccer way back in third grade because we started to head the ball. And with a traumatic brain injury, can't exactly have anything contacting my head.
Yes.
So there was a lot of stuff I had to give up, but then I found cross country, found archery, and loved the two.
Mm.
One of the difficulties with cross country was almost every single race I would have a seizure during. So I would be running and actually have a seizure during the race.
Mm-hmm.
There were several times where I would literally fall to the ground because of it.
Mm-hmm.
I had to get back up. Now, you're probably wondering, like, how does this relate to counseling?
Yeah, what I'm really thinking, Ryan, is your resilience and how even the thought of having a seizure while you're running and getting back up and continuing to do that, it says a lot about your kind of overcoming adversity.
Yeah. And so all of that actually comes into where I want to go with my counseling.
Yeah.
But one other thing I want to touch on is right after my senior season of cross country, so still in high school, I was told that I was drug resistant, that the anti-epilepsy drugs wouldn't work on me.
Mm.
And it's actually about a third of the population of epileptics are drug resistant. So that means that oral medications, they have an effect, but they don't control the seizures fully.
Mm-hmm.
So I was left with two options, either brain surgery or a vagus nerve stimulator implant.
Okay.
Brain surgery probably wouldn't have worked anyways, because the seizures would have always had to have occurred in the same spot in my brain, which with my type, it wasn't likely that that would be the case. So Thanksgiving of 2015, that week, I had my VNS surgery. So I had a vagus nerve stimulator implanted inside my body. And it was a miracle. I went from 1 to 2 seizures a week to 1 every 2 months to August 20th, 2016 was the last seizure I ever had.
Oh, Ryan. Oh.
And it was a miracle how this worked. So I was able to go into undergrad without having any seizures, which was super helpful. Now, my undergrad was in mathematics.
Okay.
Again, kind of, how does this all relate to counseling?
Yeah.
Well, at the time, I was doing my math degree, but I was also coaching archery and asked to coach the same cross-country team I ran for. And what I found was my passion was building the relationships with the kids, was mm-hmm. mentoring the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so I loved that. I loved being able to pour into their lives.
Yeah.
And so after undergrad, I got a job as a teacher working at a school for kids with learning differences.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found was just helping them with their math wasn't enough for me. Because I would see these kids, I would see them not just struggling in math, but struggling with social skills, struggling with how to have everything done, the stress of everything. I wanted to help them more. So that's really when I actually started to look at becoming a counselor.
Yeah.
So I got in contact with a friend of mine who is a counselor and a play therapist, and she was like, you are smart enough to go for like clinical mental health counseling. And she very much encouraged me to look at play therapy.
Yes.
So unfortunately, the workload that school was giving me, because I was the only math teacher they had,
mm-hmm.
was too much for me to be able to handle on top of grad school.
Yeah.
So I did end up leaving that school and to pursue grad school. I am still teaching at a different school, actually the same school that I had my stroke at when I was 5 years old.
Oh, wow.
And it's funny because a lot of the same people are there from way back when I was 5 years old.
Oh.
So it's an interesting kind of environment to be in, to where I can pour into a place that really helped me and my family.
Yes. Oh, what an interesting kind of circling back.
Yeah.
That just organically happened.
And it's amazing how all that stuff worked out, because I took the Foundations of Play Therapy class at UCF over the summer, this past summer. And I fell in love with play therapy. Oh. Like, I am all into it. Like, I love every aspect of it. And so what I'm hoping to eventually be able to do after grad school is to do play therapy with children with medical disabilities.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, I understand what it's like to go through that. And unfortunately, there is this loss of humanity.
Yeah.
That people go through when they have these disabilities. I would say, now I don't have any research to back this up, this is just my opinion here, but I would say that the most discriminated against community is the community of disabled people.
Oh. Because, yeah, I literally just talked to Marshall about that, you know, who, yeah, I was talking about in the beginning, about like the kind of disableism and ableism. Like, it's people are discriminating and they don't even realize it in many cases.
That's the thing. Like, so much of what we're taught about discrimination is you see the differences.
Yeah.
With people with, again, I don't like the term disability even, because disability just has this negative connotation to it. People who are different in these ways, you don't always notice it.
Yeah.
Like for me, when I was growing up, I couldn't drive until I was almost 21. Mm-hmm. So if my friends had parties and stuff, either I couldn't go or I'd have to make sure I had transportation. When friends go out to drink and stuff, I have to be careful. I'll have one beer maybe, but that's it, because I don't want to trigger a seizure.
So it's always on your mind.
That's the thing with a lot of people with these differences.
Yeah.
It is always on their mind. They always have to be aware of this. And it can make it a very lonely situation, very isolating. So that's why for me, I want to even develop my own stuff for epilepsy.
Yeah.
To work with children with epilepsy, to be able to help give them back their humanity. Give them this sense of, you can do these things. You just might have to do it differently.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, Ryan. Like, I thought I was inspired by you before. Now it's like you take this adverse, it's not even just an adverse situation. It's your life.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't just happen and now you're healing from what happened. Every day it's part of your life, and you know what, you have to consider in every element how you show up in the world, and you're turning it into how can I help others, which isn't easy. I mean, I think about to just to get to the point to be an educator, that's a lot of college, a lot of work, and to shift your career into the counseling realm and to shift jobs and be right back at the same school.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I didn't realize that you're a student of University of Central Florida here in Orlando. That's exciting. That's where I gained my love for play therapy right there. Dr. Delina Dillman Taylor.
Yes. She taught my foundations class and she's phenomenal. I love her. But like one of the things that, so I'm taking a research class right now and my research is on counseling with epileptics.
Ooh, okay.
So I'm going to extend this research past the class because this is what I want to do. But I will say there's actually a lot of good evidence to using stress reduction techniques with epileptics to actually reduce the frequency and intensity of their seizures.
Okay, so regulating the nervous system. And then you had the vagus stimulator. And yes. And is that something that you still have?
It is. I have it. You might be able to see in the video, there's a little wire.
Oh, okay. That's cool. Oh my goodness, that's when you notice the big, big change.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, looking at, like, the polyvagal theory, with how it's very focused on how the vagus nerve is used in regulating the body, and how I have a vagus nerve stimulator that was a real impact in my own epilepsy journey. I've seen those correlations, and that's really where my research, I want to look deep into that part to see, is it possible to basically do what the vagus nerve stimulator does without having to have a surgery every 4 to 7 years to replace it.
Oh, okay. Through kind of interactive relationships. Yes. And that co-regulation. When Ryan's talking about kind of applications of the polyvagal theory, it has three organizing principles, just like this neuroception, the felt sense of safety, and sometimes it takes in danger, and then co-regulation, and then that hierarchy of our states. We have ventral, sympathetic, and dorsal that we move in and out of. So you're thinking, how can I provide that that would kind of circumvent the need for a stimulator with some?
Yeah, because just going through, because I have to have this replaced every 4 to 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
That surgery is a trauma to the body.
Yeah.
So for me, I want to look at a less invasive way of doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So a way that is through therapeutic means, that's not mechanical, to actually help regulate the body to actually reduce the seizure loads.
Okay. So it seems like you're grateful, you're glad that it exists, but you imagine a world where there wouldn't be that extensive of kind of like, the word intrusive is coming to mind, but I think maybe that has like a negative connotation.
Yeah.
More kind of intensive way without any surgeries to be able to do it naturally. Yeah. Through the safety and connection of therapy, of play.
Yeah. So that's really where I'm looking to aim my research over the next several years, is have this idea. Kind of the name of it stems from like the Ought Play stuff, but Epileplay.
Oh, okay.
I think that's a cute name. But like, that's my end goal, is to be able to come up with maybe not necessarily a theory, but a way to work with epileptic children that actually helps them to reduce their own stress load and help them to regulate their own bodies. So that way their seizures become less frequent and less intense.
Oh, through the regulation of the nervous system. I love that. And I love that Dr. Robert Jason Grant's name, Ought Play, inspired you.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. Ought Play, for those of you listening haven't heard of it, it's a play therapy that's designed to help autistic children and families. And I think you can even use it across a lifespan, but yeah. You're thinking kind of that same approach, but with people that have epilepsy.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Ryan, that's beautiful. So now you are at UCF, University of Central Florida, in your practicum. Yeah. I had Dr. Matthew Munyon for my practicum. They have quite the, like a clinic there. People come in. I don't know if you still do it, but put like the headphone, we called it a bug in your ear.
So
you're counseling.
I'm kind of, my supervisor doesn't require us to do that. All of my clients are telehealth based, which I don't have any kids, which is difficult for me because I know that I want to work with children. Yes. So I'm really looking at for my internship, trying to get a place with children. So either have a place that works with the schools, or I was just talking to my supervisor the other night. She was saying that Healing Tree with Arnold Palmer would actually be a really good option for me with what I want to look into.
Oh, yes. Wow, that would be amazing.
Get an internship with them, or at least somewhere where I can work with the kids, because that's just who I work with best.
That's where your passion is. Oh, yeah. Okay. So this goes without saying, you are amazing. I'm truly inspired by your journey and just your heart, but also your capacity to move past adversity, to take that adversity and use it as stepping stones to kind of making the world a better place. It makes me think about that song Rise Up by Andra Day. I listen to it in the mornings, and like literally every morning. And says, we're broken down and tired, but I rise up in spite of it. And that's what you're doing. You're, you are truly, I mean, what you're, the direction that you're going in could help people long after we're gone, like for generations to come.
Yeah. That's what, so for me, I'm a Christian, so I believe that that stroke that I had when I was 5 years old, God had the plan this entire time for me to use that to help others. Mm-hmm. He knew everything I would be doing, all this stuff. He knew that he would give me this adversity here, so that way later on I could use that to help so many other people.
Mm. So just your faith has really helped you to kind of understand the value of just like what the events that life has taken you in. Ryan, thanks so much. Hey, before we go, could you kind of just think if there's one thing that you want clinicians to know about working with children and families where there's medical trauma, in anything that's kind of along your line of passion to know, what would you want them to know, to take away?
I would say, and this is mostly coming from my epilepsy past, but this can be applied to really any sort of medical disability. As a clinician, you're not necessarily going to have the disability that you're working with. What I would say is understand what they go through, because you will never understand what they are enduring.
Ooh.
You can understand how they perceive it, but you can never understand exactly what they're going through.
Ugh. Okay, I'm going to take that one to heart as well. Ryan, I really appreciate it. And I am looking forward to kind of keeping up with your professional journey and staying in touch. And maybe you'll be at the third, like all these years are passing by, the third neuroscience of play therapy. Event.
Oh, I hope to. I'm hoping that this can kind of be a way for me to put my foot in the door in the play therapy community and really like take in everything.
Yes. Yeah. I think when we understand the neuroscience of it, and then we know how to apply those concepts in our play therapy work, we can see just magnificent healing. That's very intentional and very much kind of grounded in effectiveness and connectedness and humanity.
Yeah.
All right, Brian. Thank you so much. Take care.
Of course. Bye-bye. You too.